Hello, this is Ken Barron. I'm from the National Association of Black and White Men Together. This is a podcast on the broken justice situation in the world, in fact. And what I want to do is have a videocast on this, and it'll be in the show notes. So this video will be an update on the roots of mass incarceration and the broken justice system. We start with slavery. I know that our viewers understand that the first enslaved people were sold in Jamestown in 1619. This started centuries of oppression of people at the margins. And you know that, for example, the whole of America, and indeed the White House, were built by slaves, and that white Americans profited from forced black labor. This led to Jim Crow. In 1865, yes, slavery ended, but oppression did not. Enter the so-called Jim Crow era, which effectively legalized separation in all aspects of American life for the next 100 years and wrought terror against black people, tending to maintain the status quo, was what happened. It wasn't until 1960s, with the passage of the Voting Rights and Fair Housing Acts, that the Jim Crow era officially ended. And in the housing boom of the 1950s, as white America began building wealth in the suburbs, black people were deliberately and systematically shut out, a method called redlining. While the law made redlining illegal, racism in the form of the mortgage industry didn't go away. Similarly, the end of slavery didn't stop former slaveholders from thinking of black people as slaves. The 13th Amendment outlawed slavery but left a loophole known as, quote, except as punishment for crime, end quote. States throughout the former Confederacy immediately began drafting laws guaranteed to lead to the arrest of black people. The roots of today's mass incarceration are in these laws. There's a direct line from slavery to the fact that the average black family has only 10% for every dollar held by the average white family. And while blacks are only 13% of the overall population, they make up 40% of the prison population. Slavery's impact is felt every single day by African Americans. The results of a national research by the Open Society Institute say that most Americans believe the country's criminal justice system comprises an ineffective, purely punitive approach to crime. So mass incarceration, Americans really want to attack the causes of crime rather than the symptoms. A shift has primarily come in the attitude of those groups that traditionally favored a punitive approach to criminal justice. Remember the war on drugs? Today, a solid majority of the Democratic group, including men, whites, and people with less than a college degree, support an approach dealing with the causes of crime. And also, we talk about budget shortfalls and prison spending. 42 of the 50 states are running budget deficits. Given a choice of 6 budget areas that could be reduced to help states balance their budgets, the public places spending on prisons are at the top of the list, tied with transportation. Americans would take the budget acts to prisons much more quickly than to childcare for working families, security against terrorism, education and job training, or healthcare. Hispanics and blue-collar workers are among the strongest supporters of cutbacks in prison spending. But back to the war on drugs. Many nonviolent offenders are receiving prison sentences that are counterproductive and unduly harsh. Americans describe drug abuse as a medical problem that should be handled mainly through counseling and treatment. According to the research, Americans believe that today's prisons are no more than warehouses providing little or no rehabilitation or reentry programs, that instead simply store criminals for a period of time and then dump them right back on the street, no different than what they were when they were first incarcerated. And on mandatory sentencing, the changing views are pretty obvious there. The public has now turned against the previously popular mandatory sentences, such as three strikes position. Prevention is nation's number one criminal justice goal now. Americans see prevention as the most important function of the criminal justice system, and also the function that is most sorely lacking. Several groups rank after-school activities ahead of values and education as the best way to prevent crime. The preventative measure perceived to be the most effective in reducing crime is character education, teaching young people personal responsibility and moral values. The additional key findings of this research show that, number one, the nation's approach to crime is off on the wrong track. Number two, the war on drugs is a failure. Number three, the best way to reduce crime is rehabilitation. That brings me to the prison industrial complex. This refers to the overlapping interests of the government and private companies in mass incarceration and the fundamental relationship between punishment and commerce. It was born in the 80s when the war on drugs, there we go again, was enacted in full force by President Reagan. We send more people to prison than any other nation on earth, and people of color make up most of that incarcerated population. Here are five ways the prison industrial complex functions as a new legal form of slavery. One, incarcerated individuals are legally, quote, the property of the government, unquote. Two, the prisoners are leased to private companies for mandatory labor. In addition, prisoners work and live in inhumane conditions. They are paid next to nothing while corporations profit huge amounts. And lastly, and most importantly, the system dehumanizes incarcerated individuals. In her book, A Worthy Read, and called The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration and the Age of Colorblindness, legal scholar and civil rights advocate Michelle Alexander calls life out of prison a parallel to the slavery and the Jim Crow era, quote, in which the discrimination in nearly every aspect of social, political, and economic life is perfectly legal. So, what's the conclusion behind all this? Well, we can't ever hope to effectively fight systemic racism or transform our broken criminal justice system if we don't truly understand why and how things got to be the way they are. The future of this country depends on the ability to embrace the truth about our collective history, even if the parts that make us want to look away. And the National Association of Black and White Men Together will always be there to educate and to inform on this and many other issues. This is Ken Barron, and I thank you for listening. You can find us on nabwmt.org. You can find us on Facebook, we have lots of pages on that, Instagram, and 20. We'll talk to you soon, and thanks for listening.